There's never been a better time than right now to be a musician.
Jimmy hit Austin.
My name's Phil, and I just want to play rock and roll, man.
Tougher than the rest.
Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. It is your old friend Phil Pritchett here on the P2 Podcast, broadcasting in beautiful high-definition audio or something quite like it to all ships at sea, to all four corners of this beautiful bluish-green planet that you and I call our Earth. Fans, how you doing out there? Phil Pritchett here. Broadcasting from the Pritchett Homestead in Fort Worth, Texas. Still recording, of course, at the studio we've recorded at for the last several years. Wavelight Studio up there with Larry Dillon, Trinidad World Recording. But my office, for purposes personal, business, and all other things, has now moved into the Pritchett home, where I can podcast and book shows at will without having to drive all the way out there. Boy, the studio, a lot of y'all have taken the tour here, the free tour that we record in. Please do that. Email me, phil@philpritchett.com. Come look at the studio. Come record. We do it all the time. But man, it got a little frustrating. You know, I had my little office there down the hall from the studio, which was convenient. Until, you know what really changed it for me was the iPhone. I was one of the last converts to the iPhone, which is kind of funny because I'm a big Apple advocate. Always have been. And, but you know, when I first got that, the big studio back there, over there off Erie Street, right off of 820 in Lancaster, had my office and the studio down the hall. It was great. But I'd come home, which was really about 20 miles to my house, from the studio, to and fro every day, which was a lot of gas, but, loved it, man. It was a great place to be. Larry Dillon over there, the owner of the building, couldn't have been nicer, and all the guys in there. Our old friend John Reynolds, the podcast's own John Reynolds, filmmaker. I think he still got an office in there. So a lot of fun hanging out. I sure do miss the guys over there, seeing them all the time and hanging out. But when I first got that office, man, it was, you know, I had my calendar. Ah, yes, Phil, you had the calendar, the booking and all that. I had all that at the office, right? As we were all wont to do even a few years ago. My calendar was there. A lot of my phone numbers were there. A lot of my contracts and paperwork were at the office. So I might be home and get a text or get an email from someone. Hey, man, send me that contract. Do you have this date available? Send me that mix, Phil. And I'd have to say, what? Hey, man, okay, let me do it when I get to work. Tomorrow morning, or if I wasn't going in tomorrow morning, hey man, it'll probably be Thursday when I get back to the office and I'll shoot you the dates. I'll take a look at blah, 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 blah. Well, of course, it just in such short time in the last couple of years, the iPhone, the connectivity of everything, I just got to where, even as fun a place as it was to have an office and to hang out as it was for me, at the studio itself, man, I just got to where I just wasn't going in very much. I was like, man, I'm not just going to drive all the way out there to get this contract and stuff. Not only that, I had it all in the palm of my hand, you understand, people, as you all do. But also somewhat late adopter to the whole iPhone thing. I had a real simple cell phone for a long time. I could still email, talk, and text, of course, but I just didn't have the documents, the music, all the stuff I have now. And so, man, I just find myself in a whole new reality, both exciting and sometimes a bit confusing and terrifying, to be perfectly honest. A lot of my day was spent driving all the way out there to the office and driving all the way home. And but it got to where I wasn't even going out there unless I was actually recording a band out there at the studio. Then I had my mixing stuff in my little office. So I would be out there going out to and from work every day, mixing. I'd be home at night. Someone would say, hey, man, can you bump up the vocal a little bit on this one track and email it back to me? Well, I'm sitting at home. I'm like, well, I'll have to do that in a couple days when I'm back at the office. So anyway, after a while, it just didn't make a lot of sense. It made more sense just to have my mixing stuff here at the house, somewhere I could get to it quickly if need be. My iPhone in my pocket, and man, I'm just running the empire, just out here driving around. The freaking problem is there's nowhere to go. There's no one to see. You're by yourself all the time. I didn't realize how much time was spent. Part of the office is just the people you see. And even though we're not working for the same company up there. You know, Larry would come by my office. Hey, man, check this out, man. Did you see this? I went to the show the other night. We'd shoot the bull. I'd go in there and get a cup of coffee. John Reynolds in there. Oh, what did you do this weekend? Oh, man, it was great. We're playing in Lubbock. Well, hey, what'd you do? Oh, man, come take a look at this thing I'm working on. But there was all kinds of stuff like that always going on. So that's what I missed the most about having the office somewhere else. But needless to say, it just didn't make sense for me to keep doing day-to-day operations out there. But needless to say, we're still recording out there all the time. And I look forward to getting back any chance that I can. So please email me, phil@philpritchard.com. To get up there to the studio. We still got all the confines and comforts and guitars and so much more up there to record you with. Look forward to hearing from you. Well, I had another thought driving around the other day. Went over to dinner at my brother's. Follow me here for just a minute. I do a lot of traveling on the road. A lot of food, fast food passing me by. We try to eat pretty healthy on the road, really, which means like maybe a Schlotzky's or Subway, most of the time over just the burger kind of stuff. So that's what we adhere to most of the time in the full band. I went to my brother's party for my little nephew the other day. He said, man, let's go to this. We're going to pick up some fried chicken. So fried chicken strips from Lisa's Fried Chicken right over here on off Camp Bowie, Fort Worth. Great place. Oh, man, it's great. He'd raved about it. It was great, great chicken, man. So we go over there, and sure enough, it is. We pick up a box of fried chicken strips. And we eat it, and we all just, oh, this is so great. This chicken's great. This chicken's great. And sure enough, it was. Well, guess what? Someone comes up to me. You heard these, we listen to 1310 The Ticket a lot, sports talk radio. They're always talking about Raising Cane's doing a lot of stuff. You seen Raising Cane's around here? What does everybody say? Oh, well, it's so great. Raising Cane's chicken. Oh, man, it's just, you drive through, you get fried chicken. You know, okay, Raising Cane's, great. Then for a little while back, we had Chicken Express. Still got Chicken Express everywhere. Now look around. You got Golden Chick everywhere. You got Chick-fil-A everywhere. You've got Kentucky Fried Chicken everywhere. You've got Church's Fried Chicken everywhere. You've got Popeye's Fried Chicken everywhere. Then you got like Bubba's Fried Chicken. You've got Babe's Fried Chicken. I started putting pen to paper on this. Everyone says, and rightly so, that, you know, the restaurant business is tough. Would anyone disagree with that statement? Now, man, you know, you got to have capital. You got to find a niche. You got to do something different than what everybody else is doing to make it in the restaurant business. You got to have management. You got to have something special to offer. You got to fit the, you got to invent something, it's very tough. Correct? It seems to stand to reason. Yet lo and behold, how much freaking fried chicken can this country eat? Good grief. And you know what? None of it sucks. And it just got me to thinking. What if, I mean, you would think if you're Raising Cane's, and who's new to the area, pretty new, I guess, at least to Dallas and Fort Worth it is, to my knowledge, how can Raising Cane's look at the food landscape of Fort Worth, Popeye's, Church's, KFC, Golden Chick, Chick-fil-A, Chicken Express, Babes. There's fried chicken. There's a fried chicken place. Every 10 steps is a place selling fried chicken tenders. Every 5 steps. How does Cane's just go, you know what this world needs? Our fried chicken. And you know what happens when they open it up? Guess what? Get in line, dude. Get in freaking line. And it's great. There's always a line. There's always a wait. There's always people buying fried chicken. What is the deal with fried chicken, man? It's unbelievable. We think Texas, we have a lot of Mexican food. Oh, there's Mexican food everywhere. Mexican food everywhere. Think about it. But fast food wise, fast food, Mexican food, think about it. You got like Taco Bueno, Taco Bell. I mean, how many are there? I mean, you wouldn't call On the Border fast food. I mean, it's a chain, but there's not that much. Okay, you got Taco Cabana. You've got a few. You do have a few. But a lot of burger places you got. But you kind of got McDonald's, Burger King, Wendy's. Whataburger. You got 4, you know, 5. There's some. Arby's, I guess. Is that a burger place, really? Arby's? I don't know. Burgers, of course. Ooh, we do have a lot of burgers in the United States. But the burger places, I feel like a little bit, they kind of come and go a little bit. God, there's been some others by my house that open up and kind of don't make it. And you kind of just go, well, man, there's a lot of places to get a hamburger in this town. There's no doubt about it. But I'll be darned, man. Fried chicken seems to know no end. I guess it's just cheap to buy the chicken. There must be just immense margins in freaking fried chicken, dude. Is that it? Can somebody email me, philip@philippritchard.com, tell me why that is? Like, what if I just put together somebody, a group, and said, hey, man, we're opening Phil's Fried Chicken right here at Camp Bowie in University, right here in Fort Worth. And, man, we just say, hey, we got a Coke machine, you know, rolls, some buttery hot rolls, and we've got fried chicken for about, you know, 6, 7, 8 bucks a box or something. Would I just have a line down the street? Just people who, would they walk right past all these other chains just to go to mine? I find that hard to believe. Isn't there a saturation point on fried chicken? I tell you what, though, we have not reached it. We have not reached it yet in this country. If you want to go into the restaurant business, don't be thinking, well, man, we got to make fish with mole sauce and reinvent that. That's expensive and no one even knows what that is. Garbage, forget it. Fry some chicken, put up your sign, and reap the profits. Everybody else does. And you think, well, man, there's a lot of fried chicken places. I'll tell you what, man, I go to a new one every day, and there's too much. There's not enough fried chicken to go around, man. And they all stay open. I'm always waiting in line. I'm always paying a lot of money for freaking fried chicken. And you know what, something else, kind of on a side note. I want everybody out there to stop. Stop it with the Chick-fil-A, okay? Stop with the Chick-fil-A. Because here's what happens. Hey, and more power to Chick-fil-A. They took a lot of heat nationally, what, because they weren't open on Sundays, or the owner said he didn't like gay marriage, or something. Everybody gave him a hard time about it. It's a Christian-run company. I think it's great. Whatever. That's all. That is their company. They can do whatever they want. I think it's fantastic. But I want all their customers out there, Chick-fil-A people, to just quit patting yourselves on the back because you go to Chick-fil-A. Because all those other ones I mentioned, Popeyes and Church's and Kentucky Fried Chicken, there's stigma connected to all those things, aren't there? There's stigma connected to it. And so often I hear, with all of our people here in town, well, we didn't go eat fast food. We went to Chick-fil-A. Like, Chick-fil-A has managed to be a fast food restaurant that serves fried chicken and, yes, some grilled chicken, okay. But fried chicken in the vat with all the stuff, okay. But it has somehow been able to market itself as something a little nicer, a little cleaner, a little more upscale than just, ooh, fried chicken. And so you get all these moms around town here in their workout clothes and their Starbucks, you know, drinking their Jamba Juice. They go to Chick-fil-A with their kids. You know what I mean? And play on the playground and eat fried chicken nuggets. Now, they're not going to go down here to Popeyes and Church's and Kentucky Fried Chicken or even Cane's. That's like, ew, come on. We're health conscious. We go to Chick-fil-A. So I would just, it starts to drive me nuts. Like, yeah, man, I just don't want to eat some garbage. And they'll go, oh, yeah. Let's eat something good. Let's go to Chick-fil-A. I'm just like, what? It's fried chicken. It's just in a different package. It just wraps itself. They read Bible verses over the PA speaker, and they got a playground. That's all. That's all only different. They're serving you fried chicken. You can't eat enough fried chicken, as we've discussed. So stop it with the Chick-fil-A. I eat there all you want. I love it. I think it's great. They got a great model. They can do whatever they want. It's awesome. But quit patting yourself on the back. All you're eating is fast food fried chicken like the rest of us. Fried chicken. That's it, man. Well, well, well. I got a call from a friend of mine. Not that he would care at all. I'm not going to mention his name. Young kid. I get this question from a lot of young guys going to college, getting out of college. Hey, Phil, man, help me with the music business. What would your advice be about the music business, Phil? I'm going to college, or I'm getting out of college, or I'm starting a band. I want to get in the music business, Phil. I want to know if you have any ideas or internships or someone I could talk to. Or something. You know, like you would about any other normal job, right? I mean, if you were going to be a lawyer or a doctor, you might go work for a dental office, or you might work as an assistant paralegal, or work as a clerk in the file room at some law firm or something like that, right? If you wanted to be in that line of work. So it's natural for someone to have an interest in business, a natural interest in music, to say, I want to be in the music business, Phil. And you're in the music business, right? So what do I need to do? So anyway, I was going to pass on high points from our discussion to that end. And I thought about what to tell this young guy, and I couldn't come up with anything. I wish I had some really good program I could instill him in. Say, well, here at Phil Pritchett Entertainment, we could start you off on a program that will teach you this, 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 and this. And I couldn't come up with anything. And the one thought that I tried to pass on to him, and I'll pass him on to any of y'all interested in it, is that, you know, really the music business, when you get down to it, is, I think, more so than some other businesses, maybe tech, but it is an entrepreneur's business, and outside the box business. I mean, you can almost say in any business, the real leaders, the Steve Jobs or the Wildcat and Oil guy, it's always gonna be some crazy, entrepreneur, free spirit guy that really sets the industry tone. I think that's probably true in any business. But my point is, I think in some of those other businesses, there are clearer paths to and a lot of things to learn. I mean, you got to learn the oil business or law or medicine or accounting or, any number of things, business management. You got to get some experience, and you got to be plugged into somewhere that's doing things. And the music business, I think really used to be like that when you were selling lots of records and you did have big corporations in Nashville, LA, and New York. So man, there were lots of stories of guys who loved music. So man, I went to work at Columbia in the tape room. I made tapes for all the guys, and then I was promoted to, to whatever they call it, PR and A&R and all this artist and repertoire. And I signed Nirvana and all this stuff. You got all these stories of guys, and then Nirvana does great. So then he's made the head of, accounts, and he's the head of this lady. They gave him his own division of the label and all this. And there was a chain, but it was based on sales. It was based on success, and it was very much in a corporate framework. And I think in just the last 10 years, in the last 5 years especially, it has just really been just exploded. We all know this. But as far as learning the music business, the only guys I know that are successful in it, I think of my old friend Matt Pivito or Jordan Powell, my old road manager. You're kind of like, well, man, he's working for Miranda Lambert. He owns his own publishing company now and all this. He's doing exciting stuff. Pivito is booking all those Ziegenbach gigs, booking Roger Krieger, making whatever. And that's all true, but the common thread there is those guys were in college, they're interested in stuff, and they just started working in it. But they didn't go to fill out resumes in L.A. They didn't get in good with the head of a A&R at Warner Brothers in New York. They just found some like-minded people in their immediate area, which in these guys' case was College Station. Some other people come to mind around Texas and the state and the region. And man, you just get your hands dirty. You just show up and you start selling t-shirts for some band you like, or your friend writes songs. You just think, hey man, let's see if we can get you Tuesday nights, every Tuesday night at some bar down here. Just play for tips. And you go up there as the quote unquote manager, and you talk the bar guy into letting your guy play. And then you go to your guy playing and say, hey, man, don't embarrass me. Don't get up there drunk and screw it up. You gotta play, and you got to be on time, and you got to play a 45-minute set. And thank the bar owner when you're done and see if I'll have you back next week. You see what I'm saying? You just got to kind of get in there and do it. And you know, Pivotto started booking Roger Kreger way back in the day. And just run around town, getting him open mic gigs and booking birthday parties and stuff like that. And Kreger was getting his band together. And it's the same story for Kreger as it was for me. Troy Johnson, Jordan Powell, guys booking me and helping me do my stuff. Learning how to string guitars and run monitors and run front of house sound and how a lighting rig works and how to order t-shirts and sell t-shirts and use credit card swipers and machines and all kinds of crazy stuff. And how to deal with, getting contract signs, booking hotel rooms, all this kind of stuff like that. And it's very easy, man. There's no cost in front of you. So I was telling this kid, I just said, man, just there. He was asking, where do I go? Who do I talk to? And just the bottom line is there's not a clear path to get on, as much as there was maybe, 10 years and earlier. You've just got to these days find, if it's yourself as an artist, great. Or find a friend or some band you like and just go up to them and just declare your undying loyalty to them and say, hey, man, you're doing great. And you got to find an act you believe in. If that's you, great. If it's someone else, that's great too. Find something you believe in and then just do every single thing you can every single day, all the time. And hustle it, man. And you got to be careful these days too, man, because you don't want to just send emails to clubs and texts to people over and over and over again. They're going to hate your guy. It takes a deft touch now. I'd say more than ever, to get that happening. So anyway, that would be my, if you're ever thinking about, hey, I want to get in the music business. First of all, it doesn't mean anything, really. Oh, and that's another thing. Some guys say I'm going to major in music business in college. And I would say that too, man. There is no music business. It's all changed. It's all different. Just major in business. You know, just be a business major. If you want to minor in music business or some other thing, that's fine. But just get a degree that says you majored in business or any degree, history, English, just get a good education. And the whole time you're in college, hey, be selling those t-shirts, booking those gigs, hustling around for those bands that you love, that the world needs to hear. Go profess your undying loyalty to them and go out there and lop off heads in their name. And then eventually they'll probably fire you and get somebody bigger. That's what happens to everybody. That's the sad truth of it. So in some ways it's better today if you are the artist and can do some of that stuff and bring people in accordingly. That's my two cents, man. I'm moving forward in the music business. Man, I'm as lost as all of y'all out there. I sit here every day emailing, texting, just how come that guy won't get back to me? I don't understand. I mean, you know, I'm just trying to get this date finalized or confirmed. It's tough, man. It's in some ways it's easier as we've gone over so many times. You don't have to mail posters and CDs and you just email people. But, man, it's a lot of data to constantly go through and digest. And but it takes a deft hand, man. And it's like a Bob Lefsetz blog I read recently. He said, in the old days, you were more successful the better manager you had. And he said, in the new era, it's the same way. You're more successful the better manager you have. It's like any businessman is going to be he who manages the best and works the hardest is going to come out on top. And that's how it always is. But music, I think, as much or more as any business rewards those kind of wildcat entrepreneur types. And the only way you're going to get anybody's interest in the music business is if you show up in their bar or at their festival or at their whatever, and you've got an act with you that the buyer has already heard about. So, hey, man, I'm his representative, and, you know, here's what we want. Here's what we want to do. Then maybe you'll get somewhere. But until then, if you go in there with a resume or a diploma, hey, I majored in music business. It doesn't mean anything to anybody. You got to bring them the goods. So I would say start now, because you're going to make a lot of mistakes, but start now and see if you can find the goods or become the goods yourself, and you're going to have a lot better time and not be dependent on L.A., Nashville, or New York to give you a job with steady pay and benefit package, because it ain't going to be there, dude. They're all gone. Wildcat it, man. Entrepreneurs, wildcat the music business. It's wide open. Find the goods, own the goods, be the goods. That's the way you'll make it in the music business. That's my two cents. And that is our show for this week, folks. Phil here on the P2 Podcast. Love being back with you here, folks. Book the full band. Phil Solo, Phil and Blue Duo. Full band. Now with Richard Marshall playing some keys with us, man, at some of these gigs. It's fantastic. A fourth piece, Phil Pritch and the full band. Fantastic. Never had more fun playing than I have here in this last year or so. So call us. We want to come play for you in your backyard, at your party, for your friends, your birthday, your wife's surprise birthday party, whatever it is. We'll come there. Just email me. You're not going to talk to some booking agent. You're talking to me, just like we talked about. The goods. That's me. I'm the manager. Me, Phil, at philpritchard.com. Or call me 817-733-5256. I'll send you a one-page contract. You sign and send back, and that's it, man. We come play. It's very, very simple. That's what we want to do. Also, I want to make your record, of course, out there at the studio, Trinidad World Recording. Same email, same number. Tell me about your project. We'll get it done. Well, that's all the time we have for this week on the podcast, folks. Love seeing everyone out there at the shows. We'll see you again soon, hopefully. Until next week, take care of each other out there. Much tougher.